Very excited indeed. But let me just read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which I think will appear on the screen in a moment. It's a lengthy passage, and it's one of those passages which I haven't always appreciated. Some of it I've appreciated, but as a sermon basis, I don't think I've ever preached directly on it before. But last week in my readings, it was brought to my attention. I thought, yeah, this is it. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. As I said, I'm really excited about this message. It's been 3 weeks since Easter, and this morning I want to ask you a question. What does the resurrection mean to you, personally? Now, I don't know whether you read the newspapers every day, but I do, more or less. And a couple of weeks ago, there was a survey in the papers, and it said, a quarter of Christians do not believe in the resurrection. That was the headline. I'll just read a bit of that article too, because it was so striking. It says, a poll for the BBC found that fewer than one in three Christians in Britain believe word for word the biblical story of Jesus rising from the dead. Another 41%, so we're getting on for, you know, two-thirds or more, believe some sections should not be taken literally. And one in four, 23%, of those calling themselves Christians do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead at all. Among Christians who regularly go to church, 57% believe completely in the resurrection, but 5% do not believe in it at all. That was people who consider themselves to be Christians. The survey also found 9% of non-religious people believe in the resurrection. 1% of them say they believe it literally. Also, 46%, that's nearly half of the general public, believe in some form of life after death, including a fifth of non-religious people. Now, there's been all sorts of comments about that from bishops and various people afterwards, but I just picked out one from a Church of England minister who used to be the chaplain to the Queen. And he wrote into the paper, and they published the article, and he said, "My first response is puzzlement. If you don't believe in the resurrection, but still identify as a Christian, then what exactly do you believe? And how can those beliefs be called Christian?" Hence my title this morning, "Christianity Without the Resurrection is Not Christianity." Unfortunately, over the centuries, the term Christian has come to mean all sorts of different things to different people. And that's a problem. And it does mean we've got to be very cautious when we read or we hear the term Christian used. The person using it may not mean the same as us. And that's fair enough. That's just the way language is. But within the church, we need to be clear. And that's why we've got to go back to the Bible. And Romans 10 verse 9 says it most clearly. I'll come on to that verse in a minute. In the book of Romans, Paul says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." That's what it means to be a Christian. You say, "Jesus is Lord. He's my boss. He's in charge. My life is in his hands. I submit and obey. Submit to him. I obey him. That's my aim in life. And I believe that he was risen from the dead, bodily." You're a Christian if you believe that. If you can say those things, you're a Christian. It's got nothing to do with being baptized. It's got nothing to do with being brought up as a Christian or living in a Christian country or going to church or reading your Bible or praying. Those things are add-ons. They're extras. The core is the resurrection of the man, Jesus Christ, who was God in flesh, and submission to his lordship, his kingship in your life. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 17, I think it is, I've written down here 14, I'm not sure, says, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile." That's how important it is. Without the resurrection, we're all wasting our time here this morning, completely. And calling ourselves Christians means nothing. It's futile. He says, "You are still in your sins," and that's a really important thing. We have no hope at all in eternity. Our sins have not been dealt with. We stand under the condemnation of God for our sin. And Jesus was a liar. He was merely a great moral teacher, perhaps, but he wasn't who he claimed to be. So Christianity without the resurrection is not Christianity. It's something else. And I was thinking about it. Imagine if the headline in the paper read, "A quarter of atheists believe in God." That would be weird, wouldn't it? Yeah. You see, to be an atheist means to not believe in God. That's what it means. So if an atheist believes in God, he's no longer an atheist. So if a Christian doesn't believe in the resurrection, he's not a Christian. It's as simple and straightforward as that. It's a bit like, you know, if it said there are vegetarians who eat meat. Or there are blind people who can see. Or what is that, right? Or married people who are single. You know, it's just nonsense, isn't it? It just can't be. What the newspapers have reported, in fact, although they don't realize it, is that of a quarter of Christians, a quarter of Christians don't believe in the resurrection. It's not that that they're reporting. It's that a quarter of Christians aren't even Christians at all. That's what the article really means. That's the real finding of that survey. For 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." So that one quarter need to look at their faith. It's flawed. It's useless. What makes Christianity unique? A and different from all other religions is the belief in the birth, death,